Good.
All right. Good evening. Given that it's now 5:30 p.m., we will start the proceedings for tonight. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's council meeting on Monday, the 16th of December, 2024, and welcome to those members of the community who are in our public gallery this evening. Being 5:30 p.m, I now officially declare the meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. Council meetings are also live streamed on YouTube, and in accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the CEO to confirm that the audio recording has started. Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Deputy Mayor Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Bain, Councillor Cordova, Councillor Dean, Councillor Fox, Councillor Midgley, Councillor Richardson and Councillor Street. From our staff this evening, we have the CEO, Mr Stewart, Director of People and Finance, Mr Spinks, Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, Director of Environment, Development and Community Services, Ms Shikuti, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We don't have any apologies this evening. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting Number 22, held on the 2nd of December 2024, be confirmed as a true record. Mover in Councillor Gladewright and a seconder in Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. We've had one workshop that we held since the last council meeting. That was last Monday, the 9th of December, in relation to the long-term financial plan. That takes us to page 2, Declaration of Interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest? No, thank you. Moving on, transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open to closed session? No, thank you. And that brings us to questions without notice from the public. Does any member of the public have a question that they would like to ask? If you could please come to the lectern, state your name and the suburb in which you live. And as per our meeting procedures, you can have a very brief comment or preamble to your question, and then if you could put your question, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. My name is Caleb Elcock and I'm from Dover, which you'll note is not within the Kingborough municipal area, so I'm asking whether or not I can actually pose a question.
Yeah, you can.
I can, thank you. So my question relates to the draft LPS exhibition process. I am requesting a number to date as to how many representations have been received, if that's possible, through you, Mayor.
Ms Shikuti, are you able to assist us with the most recent figure, please? Thank you.
Through you, Mayor, if you have 1 minute, I will look up very quickly the amount of representation.
Okay. Is there a second question that we can help you with while she's searching for...
It
that
will
or does
depend
it...
on...
The... Okay. Just bear with us a moment. So for those people who are watching at home, we're just looking up the most recent information as per the question.
So what I can see is that we have 828 records in our system, but noting there is a potential that some are still being entered into the system as we have a backlog, and that some of these may represent acknowledgements back as well. But you could estimate around 800 at the moment.
Around 828. So my next follow-up question is... you may or may not be aware that my brother and I, so that's Caleb and Nathaniel, submitted around 819 individual representations as we see it. Is that going to be included in the count, or are those going to be seen as something else or dismissed?
Ms Shikuti.
Through you, Mayor, my understanding is that it will be considered by council staff in our records as a single representation. However, we will be addressing are in detail or considering in detail each one of those attachments that was submitted, and they will be considered addressed in our report to council. They will also be provided to the Planning Commission for consideration as well.
Will that include commentary and assessment on each land title as they have come in as?
Ms. Chakoutis.
Through you, Mayor. I'll have to take that on notice and talk to our... who have a more thorough understanding of how we will manage that, so I'll take that on notice.
Sorry, could you just put your microphone on again? We're having some technical issues which continue to plague us.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yes, I would appreciate correspondence in regard to the method that you're going to use. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have any further questions?
No further questions.
Thank you very much. Any further questions from members of the public? No, thank you very much. Still on page two, questions on notice from the public. We had a question from Mr. Knightley in relation to the landscape conservation zone with a response from Mr. Stander. We had a question from Mr. Charles in relation to the incoming local planning scheme with a response from Mr. Stander. And a further question from Mr. Charles in relation, with a response from Mr. Stander in relation to the CSIRO National Bushfire Intelligence Capability Modelling. Takes us to page four, questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor wish to ask a question without notice? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Quick question about the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre. And it kind of relates tangentially to an aquatic centre that I'm very hopeful Kingborough will one day achieve. To what extent will the community and local athletes be able to avail themselves of the facilities at the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre? Do we have any clarity on, like, I understand that there might be, there'll be the two courts, recovery rooms, change rooms, administration facilities, but my question has two prongs. One is, will there be hydrotherapy or wet recovery or any kind of aquatic recovery opportunities at that high performance centre, and will the public or local athletes have access to any of those recovery facilities?
Yep. So I'm just clarifying, you are talking about the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre?
Yep. Yep.
There are no wet facilities at the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre. It's the plans indicated two basketball courts, a range of other shooting areas, and then there are the administrative areas, but then, you know, massage rooms, coaches' rooms, high-performance team rooms, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So there are no aquatic facilities there.
Thank you. So does that mean the extent of public access and also local athlete access to that facility will be the community courts? So when the Jack Jumpers aren't training on the courts, it will be court access, but am I to understand that it won't be access to recovery rooms?
That's,
and things?
So you're correct in that assumption. So when we did an event some time ago to with the team and with the previous Minister for Sport to announce that they had lodged the development application, the club talked at length about the ability of the community to access those facilities, and certainly that would ease some of the pressures at the Kingborough Sports Centre, because we know we're bursting at the seams and could do with additional capacity there for courts, and they will of course be sort of multi-purpose use courts, albeit marked out specifically for basketball. The exact specifications of what that access would look like and the hours, that's something that we're, given that the facility hasn't been constructed yet, that we'll be working through with the club as we get nearer to that process underway.
Thank you. And through you, Med, I have basically the same question, but in relation to the AFL High Performance, but that's obviously on tonight's agenda. Is now the right time to ask basically that same question, or should I wait until item 15.1?
Maybe I wait 15.1.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor. Just a quick clarification question around some of these underpass. It was quoted in one of the papers that as of, I believe, very soon next week, that there will be the road reopened, that there will be traffic management in place. Can I just be clear or check that that doesn't mean stop-go signs, one lane going and sharing, but that there will be full access to some of these roads.
Yeah. I'll ask the CEO to respond to that, but yeah, we are happy to say that the road was sealed last Friday and that it will be open from tomorrow. CEO.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. So, as the Mayor mentioned, so that the temporary seal surface has been put down, the contractors on site are doing the final tidy up and making sure that the barriers are in place and things like that for the reopening of that from probably tomorrow afternoon. We just need to get a detailed timing of when that will be. In terms of traffic management, there may be stop-go and things like that that we put in place through time. It will depend on the heavy vehicle movements that we need through the site during the final stages of the construction around the underpass, but it will be open consistently from tomorrow.
Any further questions? If not, we'll move on. Questions on notice from councillors. We had one in relation to Tazwater connections from Councillor Dean with a response from Mr. Reeve. A second one from Councillor Dean in relation to hard rubbish collection with a response from Mr. Reeve. A third one from Councillor Dean in relation to illegal dumping with a response from Mr. Reeve. And a question from the Deputy Mayor with a response from Ms. Everingham in relation to child and youth safe organisations. Takes us now to page 7, petitions still being actioned. There are no petitions still being actioned. And at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. Brings us to page 7, officers' reports to council, AFL High Performance Training Centre with a recommendation on page 9. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. I've got a mover in Councillor Antoli, got a seconder in the Deputy Mayor. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, it's with, I would assume, a group pleasure that I'm able to move this agenda item 15.1, which seeks council's formal support for the development of the Tasmanian Devils AFL High Performance Training Centre at Kingston Twin Ovals. This motion authorises the Chief Executive Officer to begin negotiations with state government regarding the transfer of land and to oversee key governance and planning actions required for the project. Our Twin Ovals were officially announced as the selected site on the 18th of November 2024, which solidifies, in my opinion, Kingborough's potential to host a facility of statewide significance. The project requires Council's leadership to progress development applications, to facilitate road gazetting, and to establish new dog exercise areas and engage stakeholders to ensure the project's smooth implementation. It'll be funded by the state government and the AFL, and it'll deliver an annual economic boost of approximately $55 million to the local region, with council's contribution limited to just the provision of land and some staff resources. So I think it's a great win for us, great return on investment. Extensive community engagement has been undertaken with the local sports clubs, the Dog Walking Association and other user groups to address any impacts and to ensure transparency. So this project will transform the Kingborough Sports Precinct into a hub for sports excellence alongside the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre, which we touched on earlier in earlier questions, and it's going to foster some great economic growth, some recreational opportunities and social benefits for our municipality, and I urge my fellow councillors to support this motion and the immense potential it brings to Kingborough.
Thank you, Councillor Antoli. Further contributions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Before I make a contribution, I'll just ask a few questions on the matter. The first one relates to what I was talking about earlier around to what extent the community and local athletes will have access to facilities, which particular facilities, and I have a particular interest in the if there will be any wet recovery or hydrotherapy or any aquatic facility associated with the High Performance Centre.
So my understanding is that there is an indoor water recovery facility, so I guess a hydrotherapy pool that is included, and certainly at the time of the announcement with the state government, the chair of the
Tasmanian Devils Football Club made it very clear that they intended to welcome the community in to the facility, that they could envisage local athletes being able to share the facilities. But given that it's very early stages in the process, the details of that have yet to be worked out, and largely will be obviously dictated around the usage by the Tasmanian Football Club as the main anchor tenant. And given that I guess the training needs these days of elite level sports teams is almost like a full, it's not very seasonal, it does take up a large part of the year, I guess it would need to be seen what availability is left outside of that and what that would look like. But certainly that was the commitment that was given by the chair at the time of the announcement.
Thank you. And will there be an iterative process of community feedback or consultation? To what extent will the community be allowed to give any input into what their levels of access might look like in future, or is this something that's just entirely within the remit of to decide? Will there be community consultation around what goes on that side?
Mr. Smee or the CEO, could Mr. Smee, perhaps he could assist.
Through you, Mayor, undetermined at this stage, Councillor Cordova. The obviously the facility is first and foremost there for the Devils, and as the Mayor has indicated, there has been an indication from the Devils that they will be looking to provide a level of community access to the facility, and I would envisage that that would include some consultation around what that access looks at. But it's way too early, given we haven't even seen the design or what's included, to know what elements will there be and what consultation might look like.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, just additional couple of questions, but I guess I'm flagging them early at this stage just so that these kind of topics are on the table and that we can have a really transparent relationship with our community, who I agree will certainly reap some benefits and some community dividends, but I just want to make sure that that the promises match what actually takes place. So it's good to have those conversations early. My second question is around the negotiations with, obviously, the dog walkers in this community make up a really significant portion of the community are dog walkers, and also they obviously have a lot of needs and requests. And I'm just wondering if, please, Mayor, could you paint us a picture of how those negotiations are coming along, and what are some of the challenges or opportunities there?
So as part of, when we were asked by the state government earlier this year to start some engagement in the event that we were the alternative choice for the AFL High Performance Centre, we presented them with an engagement strategy that included all of the existing users up at the Twin Ovals, and given the scope of the works to be done up there, that included the Dog Obedience Club and also the Kingborough Dog Walkers Association because of the off-lead exercise area. So there have been a number of meetings that have been held already with both of those key organisations to understand what their requirements are in terms of size of land, gradient of land, proximity to the existing facility, all that sort of thing. Those discussions have been going very well. There have been a number of areas that have been looked at as alternative locations. I will add that the off-lead area there is one of 14 dog exercise areas that we do have throughout the municipality, so we actually are, compared to other municipalities, quite well serviced already for off-lead areas for dog walkers. But having said that, we've always made a commitment that we would ensure that there was an appropriate facility available, and indeed it was a part of our discussions with the state government at an early stage, that an alternative site be found for them to be relocated. So we identified four or five different parcels of land to look at, and those discussions are continuing as part of a broader community engagement strategy as we continue to work through this process, because it is still very early days. There will be wider community consultation in relation to that outside of those associations and with more of the owners of the nearly 6,000 dogs that we have registered in Kingborough, and we'll be seeking their feedback. So it might be that we have a QR code up at the dog walking, up at the off-lead area where they can, you know, be alerted to if they aren't aware of it already. They might be able to scan a QR code and then go and provide us some feedback on, you know, what the other options are when we're able to narrow those down.
Great, thank you. I look forward to hearing more about that. My next question, this will be probably my final question, I reckon, about the analysis conducted by SGS Economics saying that this will deliver a $55 million boost to the local region. I'm just interested in the econometric analysis there. Are we publishing that on our website, for example? Are we publishing the details of what exactly... where the economic benefits will be received? Like, are we publishing in full the SGS Economics report?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked. We have just put up a link on our website to sort of some questions and answers in relation to the AFL High Performance Centre. I'm not sure if we've got a link there to that report. That report was commissioned by the Department of State Growth by those consultants, but I'm sure that if we're able to provide a link there that we could probably do that so that people can read it. It's quite a lengthy report. We might be able to do a bit of a grab of a summation from it as well. But if it's not there, we'll certainly have a look to see if we can include it.
Great, thank you. And this is all part of that, for context, this is now my contribution. I'm done with questions. But for context, I think it's going to be really important that we have not just a great relationship with, you know, Tasmania's emblematic AFL team, which is really important and supported by hundreds of thousands of Tasmanians, but it's really important that we bring the community along with us. It's obviously regrettable that there's been so much consternation or contention around this whole process, but I think we can do our very best to be transparent with the community and bring everyone alongside. And so I think publishing things like that econometric analysis is an important first step. Finally, about the CEO delegation that we're approving in this recommendation, what exactly is the scope of the CEO delegation that is being approved here? And really the thrust of my question is, at what points will the CEO come back to us as councillors, either through a workshop format or through regular updates, so that councillors are kept up to speed rather than being surprised through the process?
So the CEO and the Deputy Mayor and I discussed this today at our regular catch-up, and obviously we will endeavour to keep all of you up to speed as I guess the situation changes and things evolve. And so it would be our intention that there would be, when there is something that would require a decision later on down the track for council about whether it's included in the agreement or not, that would be the sort of thing that would trigger a workshop and a discussion at a workshop to then inform the final decision. Certainly the scope of delegation for the general manager, for the CEO at the moment, is only for the negotiation, and the final heads of agreement would come to council for us to approve. Did you want to add anything to that, CEO?
No, I think that probably covers it. Thank you, Mayor. So the intent is that this process, we can kick it off quickly and begin those negotiations with the state government. There's obviously a lot of detail that we need to work through together, including the establishment of the heads of agreement, beginning the conversation with them around the land parcel that will need to be transferred for the development of the high performance facility itself, alongside car parking and access. And the final thing is the establishment of the governance arrangements, the project governance arrangements across the top of it. But the intent is that this isn't taking away any of the decision making from council, and that at the appropriate trigger points they'll come back to council both for the conversation and also for decision making from council at the key pertinent times.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, that's really comforting to hear and speaks directly to my point about making sure that if councillors are informed, that will help, therefore, inform the community so that we can maintain transparency through this process going forward. Finally, I've taken up enough time, but I just wanted to thank the CEO and the Mayor for help with this, and it was good to hear that we'll kick off the process quickly, and I hope this is the first of many AFL-related puns throughout the evening, so I look forward to my colleagues' contribution.
I only just got it, kick off. I was a bit slow on the uptake. Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you.
I'm handballing to you.
I'll take the mark. There we go.
You'd take a mark.
Anyway, it's about my extent. Yes, I'd like to echo some of the sentiments councillors have already shared. And a big thank you as well. It's been a lot of hard work for staff involved in this to make it happen over a number of months, and the Mayor and her advocacy and patience and diligence and all that as well. So thanks, everybody involved. And as stated and in the report, it will deliver significant economic, recreation and social benefits to the local community. And that is a fantastic thing, and we are really lucky to have this, but there, as Councillor Cordova asked a couple of questions, when I'm out and about in the community, people and on social media where people, you know, are talking there as well, there are a number of questions, and some of them I'll just like to raise those, if that's okay, just for that transparency.
Absolutely.
As well, to get it all out in the open, because again, as Councillor Cordova said, I think we need to just keep talking, informing, engaging, and be really transparent as a council in regards to this, because that precinct already is a very high used area. There are a number of stakeholders. We know that, you know, and I've spoken about this during making decisions around this, that the car parks are already full when there's a lot of events on. You've got the netball, gymnastics, AFL, everything's going on. So I guess that's the number one thing. One of the things people have asked me is just in regards to what happens if everything's going on, where are people going to park and what will it look like up there?
So there will be obviously car parking that will be required as part of the construction of the High Performance Centre, both for the AFL one and also for the Jack Jumpers one. So they will have a dedicated number of spaces, which I can't remember off the top of my head how many that would be based on the number of people that will be working out of the building. But as far as the wider car parking area, you would be aware that we do have additional land adjacent. Love it when this happens with the microphones. Adjacent to the overflow car park, that, you know, it may be a longer term issue that we do need to consider extending that for those occasions when all those events do happen, particularly on weekends at once, because that is obviously it gets very tight up there. I don't know whether Mr. Smee or the CEO would like to add anything to that. CEO.
Yeah, thank you. Through you, Mayor. The Mayor's mentioned the parking that will need to be part of the AFL development alongside the Jack Jumpers development, so they'll both have their individual parking requirements. More broadly than that, we're really aware of the traffic management that will need to occur through the development phase as vehicles move in and out during the construction. That'll largely happen during the day, which is often when the demands on the sports precinct are lighter. However, we need to be planning that into our project management plans around the development of the site and making sure that we're managing the precinct as a whole to think through the various peak points that will be happening with the various programming in the area. So it is something that we are actively talking about already in terms of how we're going to manage those peak periods through the development stage, and then beyond that, what the BAU will look like at the site once all these facilities are developed.
Thank you. And that was another question. But I guess I don't really want to take too much time going through all the points. What would be great if we can be on the front foot around that, and if we do have a landing page, which I can't quite see on the council website yet. Is that right? Do we have one? There is one. Sorry, I couldn't find it myself. I can see the Jack Jumpers High Performance Centre.
Yeah, no, there is one. I'm just looking at it now.
Okay, yeah. I'll have another look. Sorry, I should have looked before the meeting. I haven't.
It's under Transform Kingston Twin Ovals AFL.
Oh, under Transform. Okay, no worries. Just because
project.
Jack Jumpers under Recreation and Facilities, so yep. I thought it might be under the same thing.
So there's a number of Q&As there, and
oh,
that's
okay.
Where we will
add the information about the economic benefits report.
Great, thank you. Oh, yep. So I guess some of the other things around, and I don't expect a response now, but I guess these are the things I guess we want to be on the front foot around, is the Spring Farm Road connector, the Gormley Drive, the mountain bike park, any timeline kind of predictions, and I guess that disruption for the community.
Yep. So all of those things were, I guess, if you like, the subject of discussions with the state government when they came back to us earlier. Well, even in our bid last year, I should say, we included things like the need for the Spring Farm Connector Road, the relocation of the mountain bike area, the relocation of the dog obedience area, the sealing of Gormley Road. All of those things have always been a condition by this council that if we were the successful location for the High Performance Centre, that the state government, as part of the funding for the establishment of the centre, funds those things as well, so that it's not council having to fund all of those things. And certainly that commitment, as we understand it from the state government, is, you know, they have... are in agreement. Of course, I would like to see the final heads of agreement to ensure that that is all included in there. It's likely, for example, that the Spring Farm Connector Road won't be funded out of the pool of money for the High Performance Centre, but will come from State Roads funding. But, you know, we made it very clear that given the additional traffic on Kingston View Drive, that... and also the issues with Spring Farm being a one-way-in, one-way-out subdivision, which is never the most desirable, that we did need this link to cope with the additional traffic through that area, as well as Gormley Drive as another alternative exit to take some pressure off Kingston View Drive. So all of those things have always been, I guess, discussed since the start, and... we've tried to cover many of those off on the questions and answers here, and answered each of those to indicate that we continue to have discussions with the state government about each of those. And certainly, like I mentioned for the dogs, our ambition would be to, you know, have the new locations for the dog walking exercise area available before the current one is unavailable due to construction.
Great, thank you so much. So I guess if community members contact us about anything, we point them to this website. If there's any further information that they need, then we'll just bring those questions to council. But I guess just for that transparency, as we've said, we want to be on the front foot around this major development. Yep. And I guess for me, that was one of the really things that got over the line, is in regards to all the extra bits that will add on to this High Performance Centre, because it is much... I've never advocated for a road, but I do advocate for that Gormley Drive, and also the Spring Farm one. We know that the community is really crying out for that as well, so it's really great to see these benefits onto that. And the only other thing, and again, I declare that conflict of interest due to paying a high number of fees for football, soccer, and we know that that is the actual growing sport in Tasmania. I guess... you know, we know that they've invested a bit into their club rooms and things like that, and I'm sure that those local clubs are sort of aware of the growing needs of the soccer, but are groups like that able to use, say, the therapy pool and things like that, or is it just designated for that AFL? Will those high-performance sort of NPL players and things be the poorer cousin next door, not able to use their facilities? Like, will there be kind of any kind of agreement or link around that, or any support, I guess, with the state government or federal government around, you know, completing those club rooms that the Kingborough Lions have kind of started?
Are starting to veer off the topic here by bringing in the neighbouring soccer club, but part of your question is on point with and relevant, and that is the same response that I gave to Councillor Cordover. It's too early at this stage to talk about what the usage of the some of the facilities by members of the community and other sporting clubs would be, because, you know, until we know what the requirements of the club are, it is their primary facility, and so they obviously will have first rights for usage, and then the leftover time that will need to be determined in conjunction with the club as we near closer to
the end of construction, so that there's some clarity around that. But as I said earlier, the chair of the club made it very clear that he wanted there to be some community use as well. So I have great faith in that undertaking. Probably the other part of the question is relevant for another time, not to this particular debate.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And in regards just to any sort of timeline, is that on, or what is their goal?
So the goal, the completion date is the 31st of October 2027. That's correct, isn't it? 2027? Yep. And, yeah, so hence the need for, I guess, the urgency now for the steering group to really get all the ducks in a row and get things going, so that the sooner we can start construction, the better. But, you know, clearly there are some significant timeframes that we need to adhere to, so we just need to get the governance. We don't want to jump in headlong and try to couple together a governance structure that doesn't fully meet the needs of all of us, so it could take us some time to work through that. The CEO has already attended a couple of meetings for that, and so we need to make sure we dot all the I's and cross the T's to ensure that we've thought of everything as we go into that process.
Thank you. Sorry, just one more question that I thought of. In like something that has been spoken about for that precinct is around having like a stakeholder group of all the user groups being able to meet together to be involved around different discussions, whatever. This could be a really good time in regards to looking at maybe establishing something like that, so all those user groups are actually kept up to date in regards to what's happening. I'm just wondering, are we thinking about our communication around that?
I believe that is proposed, the CEO.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So communications and engagement is going to be a really critical part of this overall project, but not just the AFL. Obviously, we've got the Jack Jumpers facility being developed there. There's roading projects that will impact the wider community in that space as well. So making sure that we're having the right conversations with the right groups and members of the community is going to be critical. So we don't have a full communications and engagement plan drawn up for this project yet. We had the initial phase that we were going through that the Mayor alluded to earlier as we were asked to sort of start some initial engagement if the project was moved from Clarence to Kingborough. That came to pass, so we had done that first phase. The next phase is obviously what we need to put in place for that ongoing process through the development, and it's too soon for that yet, but we are actively working on putting together the right internal resource to be able to drive this process from our side, working with the state government on the communications resourcing that they will have, and pulling together that overall framework so that we can make sure that we're effective in delivering this project.
Councillor Midges, any further questions? Councillor Street, I think you had your light on.
No?
Oh, Councillor Fox. I beg your pardon. When they switch off, then I don't know who had who's on. So, Councillor Fox.
I guess I've got a question around the displacement factor of the current users of the twin ovals, and I understand that two new ovals will be built for them, but I'd like to know during the discussions with the state government whether we have ascertained whether they will be paying for those twin ovals to be built, or is this something that council will have to build?
No. So all the additional two ovals that will turn the twins into the quads, but I feel like we need a new name, but anyway, will be paid for by the state government as part of this package. So that was always our proposal, that we shouldn't be left, if Kingborough was going to be the host, given that we already had existing tenants with the two sporting organisations up there, that they had to be provided with the requisite facilities at the state government's cost, and that's what has been agreed to.
And further question, if they pay for it, will they be organising the construction as well, or will that be left to the council?
That is the part of the remit of the governance steering committee at the moment, that they're having the discussions to work out whose responsibility is managing the different elements of the project, because we've got so many different parts to it. Obviously, it would make sense if they're managing the construction of the AFL High Performance Centre, but you've got two ovals plus the relocation of the mountain bike path, so that's one of the things that the group is looking at the moment. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yes, through you, Mayor. So our proposal was that those community infrastructure elements would be project managed by council at the state government cost. So it's our intent that we are overseeing those, the development of those elements, because they're going to be serving our communities. So we want to be able to, I guess, have our hands on the steering wheel about how we develop those things and make sure that they're fit for purpose. That's the proposal. We need to work through the heads of agreement, obviously, to make sure that that's going to work. And so we'll be ironing out the details there, but certainly our intent that we oversee that component.
Councillor Fox.
Will we be compensated for that work? It would cost a lot of resources from our staff or contractors. Will we be paid for doing that work?
Mr. Stewart.
Through you, Mayor. So the cost of the project management would be capitalised into the project and be funded by the state government for those resources that we will need to put into that.
Councillor Street, I believe you were next.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll keep my comments brief because I think the report was very comprehensive and I thank staff for that, but simply to say that it gives me great pleasure to help shepherd this one through. Thank you.
Only those with a higher level of knowledge of AFL would have understood that. That's why there was only a smattering of laughter.
Look, the benefits to the community in respect of this development can't be overstated. Clearly the facility itself is going to be a massive benefit, but I think what you can't overstate is the subsidiary benefits that this community is going to see from having this facility and this organisation in our local community, directly working with our local community, spending money in local businesses, spending time in local schools. No doubt they're going to spend time in all Tasmanian schools, I have no doubt about that, but they are going to be embedded in our community. Together with the Jack Jumpers, it's the most exciting time to be a Kingborough resident that there's ever been, in my view, and I think things are only going to be on the up and up with respect to the benefits that come from this development. So I think the whole thing's pretty specky, and I look forward to voting in favour of the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. I promise not as many puns as Councillor Street. I'll get straight to the point. So just to clarify... That was unintentional. The CEO will be taking the draft terms that Council put together as a starting position, and then discussions will go from there, and then coming back with a final position for us to sign off on. Is that correct?
CEO.
Through you, Mayor. So that's correct. So we'll take that agreement that Council had around that starting position. There'll be significantly more detail that we need to work through, obviously. But yes, 100% that's the starting point.
Excellent. And the report talks about the dog walkers in particular. The mountain bike, I assume that's sort of put to the side at the moment until the final designs are done and there's more information to share. Is that correct?
So there already have been discussions with... it's a little bit more difficult with the users of the mountain bike because they don't have an association. There are lots of people that we know who use the park, but we were able to identify some people who are regular users there, and our staff had discussions with them so that they could understand what would be happening. Like with the dog walkers, there'll be further engagement as we get closer to that process.
Great. So the message at the moment is, as per the website, that the new facility will be built in that same precinct.
Yes.
And I guess when more information comes to light, that'll be shared.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. And just quickly, the other thing I think is great to note on the report is the fact that even though there's some very strict timelines on this, you read through the risks and it just stresses how important it is to get the governance structure right so that we're starting on the right frame of mind, making the right decisions early so that we don't make mistakes down the track. We know exactly who's doing what. So, I think it's a fantastic report and outlines that perfectly. So thanks to the staff and thanks to everyone involved in the project so far.
Thank you. Councillor Fox, did you have a question?
I haven't actually spoken.
Oh, okay.
Questions.
Okay.
I just wanted to comment that I think it's amazing that in the 70s, the council of the day had the vision to have the foresight to be in this situation that we are now, that we've got a fantastic facility, that we're able to be flexible to the needs of the community. And I think we stand alone in the state of having something which is so valuable and we are able to capitalise on today in 2024. So I just want to congratulate those past councillors. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Further contributions, Councillor Dean.
Look, it's obviously getting to the end of the debate. I reckon I could spend the 5 minutes talking about all those benefits, direct and indirect, but that Councillor Street alluded to, but I won't because those points have already been made. I had a bunch of questions, but they've thankfully already been answered. So just the one, it might be a bit too far outside 50, but just in terms of the potential, we obviously were in tight competition with Clarence and SI Rosny. I'm just interested in terms of where the scope landed, if we have final costings of how much would end up is going to be injected into our community. We have the SGS economics report. But in terms of the infrastructure itself and what is going to be coming to us, has there been an update, not just around timelines, but what we've put into this facility in Kimbra?
The CEO.
Thank you. Through you, Mayor. And I guess from my perspective, we weren't actively in competition with Clarence. We were preparing an alternative solution for the government if it was not able to proceed at Clarence. Beyond that, look, there's a lot of work still to be done on the detailed costings of the various elements that need to be developed. So I think, you know, it would be too soon to comment on that level of detail. What we do know is that the state government has budgeted $70 million total, including $60 million from state government funding sources and $10 million from the AFL for the development of this facility. So that's the numbers that we're working to here. But I acknowledge that there's a lot more work to be done over the coming period of time as we move into detailed costings and then through into tenders around the development of this facility.
Great. And then
Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to follow up on that, I suppose, is just to seek clarification because this is probably the one most common thing that I get asked about, particularly from non-sport AFL lovers, is how much council is going to be putting into this. And Councillor Fox has already alluded to our staff time, but can I just get an estimate of how much we are going to be contributing to that $70 million project?
So the contribution would be the land that the... did you want to add anything else to that?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So the contribution is fundamentally for the land. Look, there may be some opportunities that we have through this project to consider other sort of other elements that we may want to pull forward in time, but they will be projects that we're going to be planned for in the long term in terms of our strategic asset management plan or things like that as well. So there may be some timing things that we look at around other elements that we might want to look at, but our contribution to the AFL High Performance Centre itself is through the contribution of the land.
Fantastic. I think that's just... For people, it's very clear to make... I think it's important to make clear that there's no direct cash injection as such from us, and this is definitely a state government and AFL
I think I hear you, Councillor Dean, and that might be something we could add to the Q&As to make it very clear, because I know when I have done social media posts around this that that is a common question that people are asking, so perhaps we could add that as a Q&A as well to provide that clarity for people. Are there any other further contributions? Just for my contribution, obviously I'm very excited to see this here today. One of the things that I found remarkable is in the... I think it was the week after this announcement, Councillor Midgley and I went to Margate Primary School and we talked to 120 students who were studying civics and civics education. And when it came to questions, the level of excitement from the children about the two high-performance centres, it's all they could talk about. And it really made me stop and think that, you know, some people might regard this just as an elite sportsperson's training facility, but it's so much more than that. Apart from the economic benefits that Councillor Street has already outlined about, you know, the extra jobs that are going to be in the community and the money that people are going to be spending, and probably more people moving here to buy houses because they're going to be working in the area, it goes beyond that. And I think it goes to the heart of how people living in Kingborough feel about we are going to be the home of high-level sports or elite sports in Tasmania. We are going to be the hub of it with two high-performance centres. And it seems like the kids have really picked up on that, and it gives them something to aspire to. And they think about being able to go down to Channel Court and see one of their sporting heroes walk past. When Jack McVay was here, I still used to have a fangirl moment walking past him in Channel Court. But, you know, for younger kids who aspire to play at that higher level, to see them in their community, to have them come to their schools, I think they're the intangible benefits of a facility such as this. And I think Councillor Fox is very right in the fact that we are very fortunate that we have been in a position where we have this magnificent sporting precinct, where a strategic decision was made back in the 70s that this would be the area that we would have sports. And, you know, things changed along the way, and a high school's gone up there as well. But look at the synergies now between the high school, which is extended to year 11 and 12 and is specialising in athlete development, for them to be located adjacent to not one but two high-performance centres really says that what they are going to be able to offer and their benefits moving forward are going to be significant for the cohort of students that go through there. So I see this as such a win for our community at a whole different range of levels. And I think it was one of the councillors mentioned earlier, you know, just the Spring Farm Link Road is such a big project that it would have been very difficult for us to be able to fund that ourselves. It would have taken sort of half the capital works budget in 1 year for us to be able to fund that because of the nature of the site. So to be able to have that vital link for the 1,000 residents or so who live in the Spring Farm and Whitewater Estates is really significant as well. So, and then hopefully they can get some metro buses. That's the next that's the next piece in the puzzle. So, look, it is a very exciting time. There are some significant timeframes in this. We know that, but I think that we're off to a good start. The relationship that we have as an organisation with the department is, and the Tasmanian Devils Football Club is very, very good. And we will keep that communication going and look forward to being able to bring back a draft heads of agreement in the near future. So kicking goals for Kingborough. There you go. Councillor Antoli, did you want to sum up?
The only other community that's very excited that we haven't mentioned is the business community.
Yes.
And the $55 million a year recurring annually is obviously going to grow, because growth attracts growth and winners attract winners, and, you know, we will have more people attracted to the community, which is hopefully good for everybody. So let's hope that we can make this one a win, and let's hope we can get into the grand final in the first year. That'd be exciting. We would have two grand final winners for two teams right opposite each other.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Antoli and seconded by Councillor Glade-Wright. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you all very much. That now takes us to page 10, Sherbert Oval Change Rooms, with the recommendation on page... Say that again because the microphone went off again. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder for Sherbert Oval Change Rooms, with the recommendation on page 11. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley.
I'd like to move to discuss, actually.
Okay. Procedural motion, move to discuss. I've got to put that, don't I? All those... Oh, seconder to discuss. Councillor Glade-Wright, all those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. We're now in discussion. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. The reason I'd like to move to discuss... because I have been contacted by a few residents in regards to this, and in my thinking about this, I think about that the community is at the heart of everything we do. And when I'm contacted by a local resident to let me know that they had, you know, observed some council staff or high-vis kind of marking out things adjacent to their fence line, and then asking a question last week in regards to what is happening with the Sherbet, and sort of this coming to us, I guess, as a bit of a surprise. I guess I kind of think of that. Yeah, the community at the heart is the heart of everything we do. We've just had we've passed a recent shopping centre in Spring Farm, and one of the great things they did around that was actually that community engagement. They told the community what they were doing. They brought the community along. And they informed them along the way. And I guess I wanted to bring this up to discuss because I feel like that is a really important thing that we want to do. We don't want to put these surprises to community members and to council as well, I guess, in regards to a bit of a change, a bit of a thought, without kind of understanding the needs of all people, the local residents. People have lived in these proximities for a number of years. I know this happens with developments. You know, people have to sort of, you know, suck it up, I guess, when, you know, they can be changed and they can have a two-storey place behind them and all that kind of thing. And we know that it does impact people, and that's why I want us to think about that as well. And we're making this decision tonight. So it will, with this proposal, and I know it has to undergo a DA and moving forward and all that kind of thing, but I think I just like to look at it in a different matter. So there's some initial things. Questioning of, just in regards, sorry, I keep looking to see if my light's on. So questioning regarding like their engineering report that was done on the current change rooms, and I guess I just want to say as well, the current change rooms are definitely embarrassing. Whenever I go there to watch my kids' sport, I often have parents bringing me to the toilets, showing me what's not working, showing me the state of this and the state of that, and like they really are embarrassing. I definitely myself have advocated for a change and an upgrade, so I want to definitely line that up. And also in regards to accessibility, you know, we need to create accessible spaces. Even like the slipperiness of the mud and all that kind of thing, it absolutely needs an upgrade. But I want to, I guess, think of the community and that community first. So in regards around that, and you know, there was an engineering report, I guess, survey, whatever, done on the current change rooms. How come a report such as that isn't attached to this report?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I summarised the gist of the engineering advice in my report. I'm not sure that we would normally provide a full engineering report as part of a report to council.
Thank you. Just wondering. And I guess, Mayor, I'm really interested in comments in regards to the fact that we had a budget agreement, but we've now been given different advice due to engineering advice. But just in regards to the local community, in regards to the changes, like I'm curious to kind of understand, with such a significant change and development, what would be a normal kind of procedure, how we bring the community along the way and on the in the journey on this?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, I guess in relation to this matter, the proposal that was brought to council as part of the budget was based on conceptual designs and costings that came from a quantity surveyor. So when we come to the new financial year and we get into the detail of implementation, and we get engineers and building surveyors to then take those concept designs and put them into reality, and then we're faced with, as indicated in the report, a situation in which what we had the best of intentions to do, the expert advice was we're unable to achieve that, and so hence we're in a situation where we look at alternate options, and those alternate options are what's being explored at the moment. In relation to the levels of community engagement, What's being proposed is within a recreation zone, there's existing cricket nets on the current site. The activity in those cricket nets is arguably noisier and more intrusive than what a set of change rooms would be. And this wouldn't be something that we would normally have a full-on community engagement over. It is a set of change rooms on an oval within a recreation zone.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. I guess in regards to the cricket nets and considering from a change room, the club rooms, like, you know, it's not every weekend, but there is a few weekends a year where they do have evening events and parties and alcohol consumption and things like that. And I guess where the current change rooms are, the noise, you know, they face the other way, so they're not, like, facing directly the neighbours and things. They're quite away from the neighbours, whereas the current, like, the proposed site of the change rooms appears to be kind of closer to the neighbours, and so that impact around that would be different. So I guess I just want to name that, and that's some things that definitely have been raised with me. And in regards to, I guess, other concerns around the proximity to the car park, the loading and the unloading, the actual, so in winter when you're watching, you know, different sports that play there, the actual sun that you get, it can be quite a cold and windy oval there as well. So the proximity and location, I guess, where people are having to kind of stand and shelter. And also with that club rooms as well, like, the thing about it is because it is a kind of space that has that little, like, verandery sort of thing at the front, there's a sheltered area, you do get a lot of people kind of hanging out there at night time. And so it does then create kind of a space where people do hang out. And I guess we don't live there as councillors or I don't know if any staff kind of live next door, but the local residents have raised the fact that, you know, they don't hear things now. They do kind of, you know, put up with the kind of parties a couple of times a year, but they do have concerns about it being right next door. And I guess it's just that, have we listened to the residents to kind of look at maybe some other locations and things like that? I guess for me, it's just about hearing their voices. And we know that Spring Farm, they did it really well, and that's how it got across the line with the community. And so, again, I come back to that. The community is at the heart of everything we do. Do we want to put this forward in a DA, get people who are upset? Like, this really affects sometimes and well-being, I guess, leading into Christmas. They're going to have their break. They're going to have this worry and concern, and it's not a great thing. We know that impact that it has on residences. So I guess I just would have rathered, I'd propose to defer it, and that we do just do a letterbox, engage with a couple of, you know, if there are a few community members, having a conversation with them, talking about the proposal, seeing if there's any leeway, any kind of changes that we can have, and then kind of going forward with the DA, but we're kind of bringing them along. I guess that's what I would like to see. But absolutely no, we do need an upgrade. It does need a change. It's great that we have this money set aside. I guess I'm worried that there's a timeline in place now. But there, I guess, my thoughts, and I'll be interested to see and hear from other councillors as well. And just one more note is in regards to some significant trees that are in that area behind the nets. They are concerned as well about the impact on those.
Thank you. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I understand from the report that this will require a DA. Is that correct?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, that is correct. And I'd also take the opportunity to note that we are talking about a set of change rooms. The club rooms are not moving. The club rooms are staying where they are. There is no proposal to relocate the club rooms to the other side of the oval. So any activities associated with club rooms will continue to occur in the existing location.
So obviously if this... Thank you, Mr. Smee. So obviously, Mayor, if this is going to DA, that is consultation, and then people will be able to have their 5 cents worth. They'll be able to oppose this application. They'll be able to justify that with a representation. It'll be gazetted. It will be advertised. And so I won't be supporting a move to defer, and I actually think that this... a move to discuss is probably not, probably was a bit inaccurately thought through, because all of the things that have been discussed could have just been part of questions in the actual time set aside for this agenda item. So I actually move that we move out of discussion if that's all right with you, Mayor, and move into the item.
Okay.
Okay, do I have a seconder for that procedural motion? Okay, so it's moved, Councillor Antoli seconded Councillor Street, that we move out of discussion and onto the substantive motion. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried, so we're back on the substantive motion, which does need to be moved because it was discussed before. So do I have a mover for the motion? Councillor Fox, and a seconder in Councillor Bain. Councillor Fox.
Yes, I think it's a great idea to be moving the change rooms to this location, or to at least be investigating whether it's possible and the scope of the project. I have been in the change rooms below in the past and note that there are some significant structural issues which are of great concern. It's important that we move out of that area and that we find an alternate location for just that purpose. And I'm pleased to hear that the actual club rooms will stay in the same location, because that's really where the social events occur, and also I think it would be a very nice place for people to stand and watch the games from that angle. But I do think it's important to separate the two functions within that building, and so I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further contributions, Councillor Bain and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. Yep, fully supportive of this motion. It's been a long time coming. Those change rooms are terrible and have been for a long time. And I think the engineers are telling us there's no point in throwing money on something which, you know, can't be retrofitted, so why not just start again? And given that the actual club rooms are staying where they are, I think that hopefully will please the neighbours to hear that, because that's where I imagine a lot of the noise is going to come from. Change rooms, not so much. I guess my only question is, what happens from here? Do we see a report again or updated budget figures, or does it just essentially go ahead and DA is advertised?
It's just me.
Through you, Mayor, the intent is to stay within budget, and that's been part of the driver for looking at the alternate option. We will complete our investigations into the feasibility. They include the arborist report that's been commissioned in relation to impact on the trees that Councillor Midgley mentioned. But yes, the intent would be, if it is feasible, then to proceed to DA, and it will be a discretionary development application that will require public advertising.
Further discussions? Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I fully support it. I don't think there is a councillor around this table that hasn't been invited by the association running Sherwood to be there. This is a historic oval. I mean, of all the cricket ovals in the Kingborough region, this has to be the most historic. And it's old. And I have colleagues around this table that used to walk across it when they were young little kids on their way to school. So it's been around for a while and it needs help. And so I'm disappointed the grant application didn't come through. I believe that was lodged with, Cricket Australia?
It was a state government grant.
State government. I understand, talking to the association, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that they also lodged a grant to Cricket Australia, which was knocked back. So good on council. This is a big chunk of cash, 500,000 almost half a million, and it's well overdue. It's been going on for years, and I fully commend it and support it.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley, then Councillor Dean.
Thank you, Mayor, and yes, apologies for moving to discuss. I thought it might create a bit of discussion outside of normal area, but that's okay. As I said, I absolutely know these change rooms are in need of an upgrade, so that all genders have somewhere to have a change room. I guess it's just that, again, I come back to that point of bringing the community along, and yes, they can have a say when it comes to us as a DA, but it's a different kind of a say, and we know that they're restricted by, the planning rules and requirements. A lot of what they're going to say is going to be outside of that scope, and we're not going to talk about it as a planning authority because it's not, it's not going to be, we can't assess it as a part of that. So I guess it's more broadly, it's more at that heart, and more that the community is at the heart of everything we do. Don't put the surprises on people like this. Inform them, let them know, have a bit of a chat, I think that's just, for me, I'd just like to see a better approach in regards to that. So wherever we go from here in regards to informing the community, in regards to what we're going to do, there's going to be some upsetment around there. And I know that happens, but this is a council-owned facility, and I just think that I would like to see that we could do better, I guess, in regards to that.
Thank you. Justin, Councillor Dean, beg your pardon.
Thanks. A question. So has there been any... is there a scope yet as to what the design of the new change rooms will provide? We've talked a lot about the quality, but as someone who plays there and being a Sunday hack, I usually have like under 13 girls playing before me. And there are only two. We've talked about the quality, but the fact there are only two change rooms. So the crossover is impossible. It just doesn't work. So I'm just wondering, will there be the potential to, while they not be as large, but will we end up having what is really FT standard of having four change rooms as part of the new build?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, if you give me a moment, I will have a look at the concept plans and just confirm the number of change rooms.
All right, well, I'll just wax lyrical in the meantime about how great this is. Everyone has already. Yes, the quality is abhorrent, but the point that Mrs. Smee made earlier about the fact that this is going to be still the social quarters will remain, which is away from a further distance away from nearby neighbours, and the change rooms up on the oval closer to the actual pitch is a win-win for everyone. I understand Councillor Midgley wanting to engage the community. I'm sure that as part of the process there will be an opportunity for that, but in my view, having played there a lot and very familiar with the ground, I can't see how having a change room close to the pitch at where it is located could severely impact the point where we would need to go beyond what we're already doing to engage nearby residents. I think this is a net gain for the community, and when we talk about the heart of the community, we have got a massive cricket club and a massive the Lions, Southern FC play there, so the wider community uses, as Councillor put, this very old oval for a variety of reasons, not just sport. Lots of people use it as walking, as a cut through, so it's a fantastic addition. I hope that Mr. Smee will come back to me and say that we are going to have more than two very tight change rooms as part of the scope, and if not, I would implore that be given some consideration.
I've got a question.
Great.
Thanks, Councillor Dean. We'll come back to the answer to that. Councillor Gladewright did have her light on, so I'll go to her and then I'll come to you.
I know Mr. Smee is trying to find an answer there, though. He did mention that there's no formal consultation, but it does say at 7.1 that there will be a little bit of consultation with stakeholders, and I was wondering if you could just take us through that a little bit more, please.
Mr. Smee.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. We have been talking to the neighbours that are directly adjoining the proposed change room location. We have been in conversation with them in relation to this matter.
And with concerns that they're raising, are they being considered when coming up with a proposal?
Through you, Mayor, absolutely. So the concerns in relation to the eucalypt trees have prompted us to engage an arborist, and the majority of concerns relate to proposed club rooms rather than change rooms.
Thank you. I hope that appeases Councillor Midgley a little bit.
Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Just a question about other stakeholders. So, yes, cricket and the Kingborough Lions, and I guess the school uses it, and other kind of... I've been up there on afternoons and, like, some private kind of groups run programs. Like, have we engaged, I guess, in designing the change rooms and the needs of all the stakeholders? Have we spoken to them or shown them any of the plans and things like that?
Mr. Smee.
Through you, Mayor, the plans have been shown to both the two principal tenants, being the soccer club and the cricket club.
And
Anyone else got anything to say? Well, I can fill in some time. I've been a soccer mum who's been up at Sherbert Ovals many time, and I understand the constraints that they have there with the facilities. And unfortunately, like a lot of our sporting facilities that were constructed in a certain era, they have deteriorated to a point that it's not fun for the people that are using them. And what's wonderful, of course, now is that we have that, both males and females who are playing AFL and soccer and a range of other sports that we previously didn't have. So this is really bringing this into a more contemporary practice, and I'm hoping that might just about do it. No. Anyone else got any soccer stories they'd like to tell? Councillor Dean.
I could recount my entire season if you'd like.
How's it going for you?
It is winter. I mean, a winter sport. So we're over. A question that might be part of this. In terms of what will happen to those bottom change rooms moving forward, I wonder whether the solution is going to be that they are the overflow, so they'll continue to be used potentially, or... I'm aware of that, but it was a question that had... I know they don't work and the showers are terrible and there's a massive step and it's completely non-compliant for DDA and they smell and there's a hole in the wall, there are rats.
There's rats?
I'm just making stuff up now.
I should be condemned then. Getting closer. Oh, Mr. Snee.
So through you, Mayor, in relation to the existing change rooms, the proposal is to retain them, but primarily as storage space. I guess they could be used as an alternate change room if they were really needed. Looking at the plans, it does appear that the proposal is for two new large change rooms, but what I can't tell is whether they have the capacity to be divided, so I'd need to look further into that.
Not now. He's not going to look into that now, just because we'll never get home for Christmas if that's the case. Any further discussion? Otherwise, I'm going to ask Councillor Fox to sum up.
Nothing further to say. I look forward to a further report, I presume. We'll get another report.
Well, the next time we'll see this will be a DA.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox and seconded by Councillor Bain. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to page 12, Community Grants Policy, with a recommendation on page 13. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. A mover in Councillor Midgley and a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, happy to support this community grants policy, noting that there was a recommendation last time because we had some community groups doing some really excellent community projects, and I think it was the Blackmans Bay Community Garden Trail perhaps that instigated a bit of this kind of policy change, and just that noting that we will now have the council will not generally fund the same or similar project more than once, so there'll kind of be a consideration, I guess, in regards to if they are just fantastic, like what the Blackmans Bay Community Garden Trail did. And if you haven't been on that garden trail, it's really excellent. And so the other part of the policy and the grants all look good to me and sound, and it is really great that we have the community grants program in Kingborough, and that quick response grant has been another great, well-utilised part of this program. And with that, we get to see a real breadth of different community programs across Kingborough, where I guess we kind of become the platform and the community groups and associations and different users and things bring heart and life and fun to Kingborough. The only thing that I had a question around this was in regards to, I guess, if we kind of capture, how do we kind of capture the different types of community grants that we fund? Like, do we ask for a photograph and a bit of a description so we can kind of capture things in our annual report or that sort of a thing? Just wondering what information about that.
Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Applicants have to fill in a detailed application form for consideration, addressing all the criteria in our guidelines, which are available on our website. So that's often a detailed description, how it meets those criteria, other components of how it will be run, the funding breakdown, etc. We then assess that against the guidelines, and we use a matrix that we've developed in accordance with those guidelines, and then we maintain a register of all the different types and their details. So we've got a lot of detailed information on that.
Thank you. Sorry, my question wasn't clear. So once they've been awarded and they've held the event or program or activity, do we then sort of, like, if it is, say, the Diwali event or the Blackmans Bay Trail, do we kind of ask them following the event, like, to kind of send us a photo of the event and maybe a bit of a description so we can kind of capture a bit of a log around what kind of council's funded through photographs and story?
And some of the, I guess, some of the outcomes of how many people.
Yeah, the outcomes and people and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Ms. Shakuti.
Through you, Mayor. Not that I'm aware of, but I'll take it on notice and follow up. If we don't, I think that's a really great idea.
I think it would be terrific to get that to see, because I think if you're at the event, you appreciate the magnitude of them. And if you, you know, don't have the opportunity to get there, you might not understand, you know, what the reach into the wider community is. So if we could do that, that would be terrific. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with everything Councillor Midgley said. I think it's a great policy, and it's always fantastic to see all the different events that put on from community groups for our community to enjoy. Just one typo I was going to point out was 4.8 under appeal process.
Yeah, it says general manager.
Just needs a change, yeah. Yep. GM to CEO.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd pick that up. Any further discussion? There is only just the minor change to the policy. If not, Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up? Thank you very much. I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Glade-Wright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 22, Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, Community Representation Nominations, with a recommendation on page 24. Looking for a mover and a seconder. I've got a mover in Councillor Midgley. Seconder, Councillor Glade-Wright. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, so as we, our council groups have sort of our terms of reference, which includes terms on council. We then advertise for new representations from the community for the Kingborough Bicycle Advisory Committee, which I'm grateful to be chair, and thank Councillor Bain for being co-chair as well. We've had a number of representations who have a wide breadth of knowledge and experience in cycling and other active transport members, and so I thank all those people who've put forward, noting we haven't had any other genders apply this time. Not a big mixed gender, but that's okay. Maybe if other people during the kind of year might express interest, we can perhaps look at having another member. But also we've had a few outgoing members this time who haven't reapplied, and our longest-serving member was Mr. Peter Tuft, and he was a really great instigator, I guess, in regards to the Kingborough Bicycle strategy and also the positive provisioning policy. So I'd like to thank again those outgoing members, particularly Peter, for his work and encouragement in those areas to myself. And I look forward to working with the new committee next year. And actually one thing as well that was named up by Mark, who's sitting in the chamber in the audience at the moment, who's a current committee member, Mr. Donnellan, was in regards to like doing a sort of a committee induction. So often when you come to these committees, it's kind of a bit daunting coming into this room and using the mic and all that kind of thing. And I think sometimes the KBAC has actually expressed that it would be nicer to have a different room, because it is kind of stifling for conversation and things like that, putting your mic on and all those sort of things. So I just guess I wanted to name that one up as well. One of the things we also don't do in the committees is we don't offer like tea and coffee, so it'd be nice to be able to offer that to our committees. So I'll just name that up as well. But also just naming that up, I worked at Hobart Council. A bit of tea and coffee with your volunteer community members doesn't go astray. And morning tea, but anyway, we don't need to add that.
Okay. Focus.
I'm focusing, but the other thing is around that sort of induction of the committee. So we're going to look at instigated by a current committee member, inviting them in, showing them this room, how to use the mics, all the kind of terms and references before we kind of head in and a bit of a history regarding kind of what the committee's at. So, yeah, currently evolving and listening to the wonderful ideas from the members. So I'm sure everybody will support this tonight.
Thank you. Further discussion? I just wanted to add my thanks to those people who have volunteered to be part of the committee. It's sometimes can be difficult to get people to who have the time to be able to volunteer, and the Bicycle Advisory Committee, though, never seems to have been short of volunteers in the 20 or 30 years or more that it's been running, and I think that's the passion that people have for cycling and for improving our cycling facilities in Kingborough. So I thank those who have volunteered in the past and who continue to put their hands up, and certainly we can offer a cup of tea or coffee. There is a little trolley around there and you need to go and bring it in. Executive officer to do that for you, who services the committee. And we are very constrained by space here with meetings. The only other space that is available is that small room there. And whilst there isn't the microphones, you then lose the ability to have PowerPoint presentations and so on. So I know that when I first sat on committees many years ago when I joined council, we did occasionally meet in that room, but it's actually very small and I think windowless from memory, and it wasn't actually that pleasant, so out here seemed a lot nicer. But it's unfortunate that we don't have other meeting spaces here because we are a little bit bursting at the seams. So I can't do much about that, but we can certainly offer some tea and coffee and water as a small gesture of appreciation. That would be great. So thank you very much for your thank you. We'll note that you'll be doing that. Appreciate it. Is that my time is up?
5 minutes.
That was great timing. Thank you. Is there any further discussion, Councillor Antoli?
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I also want to thank everyone that's put in the effort, and I appreciate what you shared, Councillor Midgley, about an orientation. I think that's fair, you know. I won't get into the whole tea and coffee and free massages and all and chauffeur-driven and all that sort of stuff, but it's fair that they just do need a... It's daunting. You come into this foreign space and it's confronting and off-putting, so I think that's a good idea. I really enjoyed getting to read about the people, and I just want to give a shout-out to Mr. Eddie Yeager, who, like me, is a stroke survivor, same year as me, and is using cycling as part of his recovery, and good on him. And I thank Mark Donnellan, who's here. He's wearing his cycling socks, so he's really into it. And I just want to note that there is a misspelling of David McQuillan's name. It should be A-N instead of E-N, unless it is a different David McQuillan.
No, stood at the last election.
Was it the same one that stood at the last election?
Oh, it's a different one.
Different? All right. I sit corrected then, and I'll leave that one alone. Okay. And congratulations, and keep up the good work, committee.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Councillor Midgley, did you want to sum up? I'll put the recommendation then. Moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Gladright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to item 15.5, financial report for November 2024 with a recommendation on page 35. I'm looking for a mover and a second, please. I've got a mover in Councillor Bain and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So the report before us is for the 30th of November 2024. The year-to-date underlying result is $859,000 favourable to budget. The big revision made for this report is the staff have now got a revised underlying deficit of $2.535 million as our end-of-year forecast position, which is about $400,000 favourable to what it originally was at the start of the year. and that is due to additional rates revenue, statutory fees and fines, and the Kingborough Sports Centre gym membership fees. So that's really pleasing to see. A couple of questions. The first one I had is just around the interest revenue to date is around $40,000 to our favour. So I guess wondering if that's likely to continue or not for the rest of the financial year.
Mr. Spinks.
Thank you, Mayor. That's a variance that has largely arisen this month. Previous month it was considerably smaller. I think the short answer is we just want to keep a bit of a watching brief on that one. Our cash position will be largely determined by our works program, so I just sort of prefer to wait until a little bit later in the financial year. I've got a better guide on that before making any adjustments around the interest income.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you. And second question was around the depreciation figure. So that's obviously quite favourable at the moment, at $240,000. Interested to understand what changes we're expected to see between now and end of financial year that will bring that back into on budget, which is what I guess the forecast is currently.
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So one of the items we've been talking about now for some time in relation to depreciation has been this issue of capitalising previous completed capital works. You might remember that the last financial year, that process was sort of given a bit of a kick along, and that's continuing this financial year. So it looks as though we're going to capitalise more than we originally thought we would get through this financial year. So I would expect that favourable variance to come back much closer to budget.
Okay. Councillor Bain.
No further questions.
No further questions. Anyone else? Any questions, contributions? No. Councillor Bain, I'm assuming you don't want to sum up. So I'll put the recommendation moved by Councillor Bain, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Takes us to 15.6, appendices, with a recommendation on page 57. Looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Moved, Councillor Corbett. Seconded, Councillor Gladewright. And questions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just one about 18th of October, Mayor's activities meeting with Inspector Riley, Kingston Police. Two parts of the question. One is about any further discussion around emergency services hub or construction around anything to do with that. And the second one is around, are there any updates that you would like to share with the public around what that meeting was in aid of?
So I have a regular meeting with Inspector Riley, and the CEO often joins us. That particular meeting was actually focused on the work that Inspector Riley has been doing with our staff around how we deal with the ongoing issues of graffiti as vandalism throughout the community, because as we know, we've seen an increase over the last couple of years in relation to that. Inspector Riley, much to his credit, has been very proactive in trying to address this problem. He's also been of assistance with us with some of the issues in relation to antisocial behaviour by people at the community hub, particularly sort of in the afternoon 3 to 5pm sort of time frame, where that sort of has been a peak of activity around there. And so he was able to inform us that he had made some changes with his sort of rostering and was able to have more of a police presence, both on foot patrols, but also there are police officers that are, instead of sitting in the police station doing their paperwork, actually doing their paperwork out of one of the meeting rooms over at the community hub, so that they actually have a presence there, which seems to have been assisting in acting as a bit of a deterrent for antisocial behaviour that was occurring sort of directly adjacent to those rooms, and making people think twice about whether they do undertake that sort of behaviour in that area. I just
quite impressed by the fact that Inspector Riley has been very proactive in relation to the issue of graffiti. He's been quite personally involved in wanting to go around and ensure that we have a register of the a register of, I guess, the graffiti that does take place, and that's what we're trying to urge members of the community to do, is if you see new graffiti, take a picture of it, send it in to us, we will pass it on to police. So in that way, when they do then, when an offender is caught, they can go back through and look at other pictures of graffiti that's been done all over the place and match them to that individual as well, because they're all personalised with these, you know, tags as ownership. So that has had some success of late, and I understand that the perpetrator of the large angry board graffiti, or vandalism I should say, because we really do need to call it vandalism because that's what it is, that the perpetrator of that vandalism has been identified, and the work is going on now to process those charges, and I believe they may be multiple ones. So that's a really positive outcome, and Inspector Riley is also very keen on working closely with the businesses who have been the subject of the vandalism and encouraging them to remove it, to act as a, I guess, a further deterrent, so people know that if they do vandalise something with the spray paint, that it's not going to be there for a long time. It's not going to be worth their while, because hopefully businesses will remove it in a quicker way. So that was basically the focus of the meeting. Thank you. Councillor Dean.
Thanks. I had a couple of follow-up questions into it, but they've come up nicely in terms of the agenda here. So you, on the 13th of November, you met with Mr. and Mrs. Reid. They used to run the coffee.
Yes.
Whole. So just quickly, was there anything that you kind of learned, I suppose, in their experience running or being tenants, I suppose, there? And more broadly, we've spoken to briefly in this chamber about potentially trying to bring something back, whether it's a coffee van on a Saturday morning or something. Has there been any kind of development in that space?
Yeah. So it was a really worthwhile meeting. We actually ended up speaking for a lot longer because it went from tell us any issues you had at the with the running that venue through to engagement of young people and youth within the community. And so then we talked about the graffiti strategy and a whole lot of areas, because both Mr. and Mrs. Reid are very interested in ensuring that we can engage disengaged young people within the community. They did indicate they had some challenges with the venue, and that was predominantly where, because there was not as much, because the other stages of development didn't occur at Kingston Park. The foot traffic through there was far lower than they anticipated, and obviously that affected the viability of the business, but also the constraints of the size of the space, because they were only using that front area with the rest of it rented out to King's Quarters, who they were actually the tenants of, they sublet from. It wasn't sufficient space to, you know, allow them to do more things. There was a limited menu that they could offer, and so that also impacted on that. But it was certainly worthwhile having a discussion about it so that we can learn for how we move forward. At this stage, there's because that what's there is also, so that portion of the building, as I said, is actually the domain of Traders in Purple. At the moment, they still have a lease that runs for some time on that space, and so until such time as they wish to end that, then we can't progress anything in that area because the lease is there. But I don't know if Ms. Shakuti would like to add anything to it.
Through you, Mayor. Yes, thank you. We are reviewing that space. We've had two meetings internally to determine what our options are. And as the Mayor has said, the lease does run through for some time, but there is opportunity for discussion. In the interim, we have progressed having a permanent food van site down closer to the park where that is approved, and so appropriately licensed food vans will be able to operate there, I suppose, whenever they like. And we will, you know, work with different food van vendors to promote that and have them there through peak times as well, particularly the park run on a Saturday.
Councillor Antoli and then Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. It's regarding your meeting on the 9th or your film's submission piece on the 9th of December. Could you just explain, I'm not familiar with what the Mayor Bloomberg's challenge is?
So that is a joint project between the... it's a grant submission that Kingborough is putting in conjunction with Hobart City Council, and it's to do with... emergency management and resilience of the communities. And so because of the end of the funding coming to an end, we've been looking for some alternative funding sources. This opportunity was pitched to our community resilience team of continuing some of that work, but in a joint way with Hobart City. There is the opportunity to get a $50,000 grant that we would share with Hobart on that. And given that we've been working with them as part of that Sparking Conversations, Igniting Action, it was, I guess, would be an extension of that work. And then there is a... So as part of the... They had quite a set criteria as to how the application for the grant had to be, and it had to be that the Mayor was fronting the camera for it. So the Lord Mayor and myself did a piece together. And there is then a final prize, if you like, because it is a challenge, not a grant, of $1 million. So it's a very slim chance that we will actually secure that, but the advice from our emergency management coordinator was that it was worth having a go and seeing how far we could get with it.
What's this got to do with Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg? Are we talking about the American guy who's
yeah.
the...
Yeah, it's
What's
an international.
What's that got to do with them? Oh, it's an international.
International.
So some sort of foundation fund, he set yeah. up because he is a billionaire
yeah.
or something.
CEO okay. can probably explain it better than me.
Yeah, through you, Mayor, the Bloomberg Philanthropies have a number of areas that they support, not just in America but globally as well. Local government, obviously, right. with Mayor Bloomberg's former association, is one of the areas that they fund. And I know, there's various scholarships and other funding mechanisms that are provided through the Bloomberg Philanthropies. This is one of those sort of programs that they offer. Mm. So a good opportunity for us to have a crack at getting some substantial funding in to be able to support the continuation of some of the really valuable work we do building resilience in our communities.
So does that mean if we win you have to fly to New York to collect? I'll carry your luggage.
I'm sure the Lord Mayor would be putting her hand up first. Councillor Fox.
This one's going to be a bit minor, I think, but what was on the 13th of November at the Civic Centre, meeting with Mr. Rubicek Reed community battery proposal at Blackmans Bay.
So there was a public meeting back in September at Suncoast Drive Park at Blackmans Bay. There is a proposal by TAS Networks to establish a community battery facility there on the land. So the TAS Networks had... letterboxed all of the local residents, particularly those properties that were bordering onto the proposed site, let them know that that was their intention, and invited everyone to a public meeting. And Mr. Robicek had attended the public meeting and subsequently had some concerns about
the implications of such a facility being located over the back fence from some people's properties, what impact it might have on insurance, those sorts of issues, what would happen in the event of an emergency, etc. Those questions are sort of, I guess, really much more in the domain of TAS networks, but I did undertake to identify what our involvement in this project is, and our involvement is just landowner consent for the battery to be built there. I don't think it requires a development application from memory. Can you help me with that?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So the advice that we've seen from the staff was that it wouldn't require a development application. I guess when TAS networks get to the final stage of their planning, the team will look at that, but at this stage it doesn't require a DA.
What are the batteries for?
Can you explain it better than me? CEO.
I can try. So others might be better at this, but basically it's with solar generation from various homes there, rather than sort of needing to send that power too far, it holds it locally and then it can be reused locally, so that it reduces the infrastructure requirement from TAS networks and basically creates a better return, because you get less loss from transmission of power. So it's a local reuse of power to support ongoing sustainable operation of our power network.
Councillor Midgley.
Just can I add to that one? If you for Councillor Fox or any community members, they can go onto the TAS Networks website and find out lots more information. Councillor Fox, about community batteries, you can look at TAS Networks page. There's lots of information. Okay to just make a comment there.
Thank you. That's helpful. Councillor Antoli.
I actually attended the event.
Yep.
It was very interesting, but the misconception is that the batteries will provide power in case of a blackout. Yep. They can't, and they won't. And it's really more to modulate and to help manage flows and ebbs in the actual flow of electricity in the area, and it's based on a federal grant.
Thank you.
And I believe there was concerns about what happens to the effluents if the battery burns.
Yep.
And it rushes down this slope down, which at the base of the slope is a drainage, storm drainage area, and what does that mean for the residents there? That was the only concern.
Yep.
I heard.
Yep. Any further discussion? If not, I will put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against, motion is carried. Takes us to notices of motion. Councillor Bain submitted a notice of motion headed Kingston Bypass Duplication and Algona Road Roundabout Upgrade Pedestrian Overpass. And there's a response also from Mr. Reeve. Councillor Bain, and do I have a seconder for Councillor Bain's motion in Councillor Fox? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So one of our roles as a council is to advocate on behalf of our community, and I believe that this is an instance where we should be doing exactly that. So the Department of State Growth have released the designs for the Kingston Bypass Duplication and Algona Road Roundabout projects, which look great and will make a huge difference to traffic congestion around the Algona Road Roundabout. The designs do include a pedestrian bridge over the Channel Highway between Huntingfield and Whitewater Park Estate. However, this part of the project is currently not funded. So we have a $76 million project, but $0 allocated for the pedestrian bridge. So this notice of motion is simply for Council to write to the Minister to stress the importance of this piece of infrastructure for our community and ask for that to be funded. Just a few examples of the difference this pedestrian overpass would make for our community. We've got Spring Farm, Whitewater Park Estate subdivisions, which have got, you know, over 600 homes and growing. However, they currently don't have any public buses servicing the area, so this would allow convenient access to the park and ride. We've got Homes Tasmania Huntingfield subdivision. We'll see the suburb of Huntingfield increased by 460 homes, so I'm sure those people would appreciate this access over the Channel Highway. Huntingfield, we've got three school campuses with enrolments totalling over 1,000 students, which I'm sure they'd appreciate being able to cross the Channel Highway, walk and ride to school. And then, obviously, as a council, we've been working hard on our major active transport route from Kingston all the way through to Whitewater Park Estate, which is going to hit the Channel Highway, and we need that pedestrian access over the top to eventually, hopefully, get down to Kettering one day. So there's some of the reasons, and just the other part of the motion is requesting that the pedestrian overpass is constructed in the early stages of the overall project. The current project's got a forecast completion date of 2028, which would be a long time to wait for this small component of the overall project. And also, I imagine there's going to be a lot of roadworks going on over that two-year period, so offering an alternative for people to get across the Channel Highway without driving their car while the roadworks are going on would be very beneficial. So I ask my colleagues to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I do like this motion. I do want to support it. I'd like to offer maybe a small amendment that we write to both the Minister for Infrastructure and the Minister for Transport. The Minister for Transport is the local member as well, and that would be helpful. He's also the Leader of the House. And I think if they're going to try and find funding to fund something that's not funded, I don't understand why you put concept designs out there and then don't even have funding for it. You're going to need the Leader of the House to bring all sides of Parliament together to agree to pass it in budget, some sort of an amendment or something. So that would be my only humbly put forward amendment, if that would be agreeable to the mover. I don't know how you do that, Mayor. I'll leave that to
Councillor Bain, would you be happy with that amendment so that the Council writes to both the Minister for Infrastructure and the Minister for Transport? And if you're happy with it, Councillor Fox, as the seconder, would you be happy with it? Thank you. That now becomes part of the motion for the speakers. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And I just think, yeah, right to them all, because it's a bit of a stuff-up, really. Like, it's a no-brainer that this is needed, and we can start with them and let's go on to others, perhaps, and get, you know, stand by the roundabout, and who knows what we need to do to get some advocacy. But I really just want to say thanks to Councillor Bain. Like, it is such an important piece that is vital and missing, and from my understanding, I was discussed at KBAC as well, that Council had actually been in discussion regarding this, and had actually, you know, advocated for this and thought it would be part of actually the funded project, which it absolutely should be. They're great pieces of infrastructure, the park and ride and all the things that are kind of happening there, all the growth in that area, and people want active transport. We want to get, encourage people to be able to use active transport to get around that place. So, yeah, thanks, Councillor Bain, for doing this. Thanks so much for being onto it and picking it up.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. Further discussion, Councillor Dean.
Only just to back in that everything's been said, and to point out for those listening around the table that not only is it a good idea that Councillor Bain's put forward, it's actually been supported by the Public Works Committee that did the assessment of the project and have made the exact same point. Quote, however, the committee is concerned a key component necessary to maximise the benefits of this significant investment, the pedestrian overpass over the Channel Highway linking the shared use pathway, is not part of the project referred to the committee for inquiry. So that's obviously something they'd love to see, as Councillor Baines pointed out, something we'd like to see, and hopefully it does get funded eventually. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Only to say that as a regular user of Channel Highway in that area, as a car user, I find it incredibly difficult to turn right out of an intersection crossing two lanes of traffic. And I would hate to be a pedestrian in the entire length of that street to try and cross it. It's absolutely imperative that a pedestrian overpass is put in, because I think with a growing community like this, we're going to have fatalities in this area, and I don't use that phrase lightly. I just imagine children and parents trying to get across that road, trying to get to the bus in a hurry, trying to get to the other... beg your pardon? Get to Spring Farm from the bus too. So it's really important that this goes in and that we put pressure on every Member of Parliament. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I'll just add just a comment here. I thank Councillor Bain for bringing this, and I look forward to be able to write a strongly worded letter to the government. I think we might copy in the Premier as well, because I do feel like this is doing part of the project and not all of it, and that's not what our community deserves. That's the intersection there has been totally inadequate for a number of years, and I think I've relayed the story a number of times here that you haven't taken your life into your hands until you've taken your learner driver daughter at peak hour to that intersection and got it across a couple of lanes, and you're being the passenger, and it still remains one of the scariest things that I have done. It was frustrating for everyone concerned. But the whole concept of actually building this and not having the connections to give our residents the option to take other modes of transport to navigate across this whole area is absolutely ludicrous. And I can only assume it was done as a cost-saving measure because the costs have blown out as the timeline's dragged out. And that is very, very disappointing. But as we know, the Parliamentary Works Committee did look at this project, and so I wanted to quote something here because it also talked about not only the modes of active transport, but particularly making sure that the overpass would be designed so that all people of all abilities would be able to use it. To effectively support active transport, the pedestrian overpass should be designed to comfortably accommodate both pedestrians and cyclists. Ensuring sufficient width is essential for safe and seamless movement. The overpass must also feature a gradient that complies with accessibility standards, making it usable for individuals of all abilities. This consideration is vital to ensure inclusivity and promote regular use by the community. Additionally, pathways leading to and from the overpass should be direct and well aligned. Avoiding sharp or impractical turns will enhance usability and encourage more people to integrate active transport into their daily routines. By incorporating these design elements, the overpass can be made safe, accessible and inviting, fostering a shift towards more sustainable and active modes of transport. Those words were actually said by somebody in the room tonight, but it's actually nobody at the table. It's by our community member and member of the Bicycle Advisory Committee, Mr. Dunellan, who's here with us tonight, who was one of the representatives who made a submission on behalf of the community to the Public Works Committee. And I thank him for doing that, because I think he has made the case very, very well that we need to ensure that we are doing the whole project here so that regardless of how you choose to move around the community to the different parts, that you can choose the mode of transport that suits your lifestyle and do so safely. So I will have great delight in writing this letter. It'll be full of hyperbole, and that the sky will fall if it's not done. I won't exaggerate at all, but we will put the case very, very strongly, and I think we should probably also copy it all members of Parliament so that everyone in the Parliament is aware of the concerns that our community holds and that the Council holds as well. Having said that, Councillor Bain, would you like to sum up?
I think everything that needs to be said has been said, so just thank you for the contributions and look forward to.
Thank you. I'm going to put the motion moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. That now takes us to the end of our open session. I do need a mover and a seconder that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority moved into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes and applications for leaves of absence. I've got a mover in Councillor Fox, a seconder in Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. So we are about to finish the open session of Council. Thank you very much to our community members who have been with us this evening, but also to everyone who's been watching along at home. This is our last meeting before Council breaks next Monday for the festive season. So I just wanted to wish everyone in our community a very merry and festive season, whatever that looks for them, but I hope it includes time with their loved ones. Christmas obviously has different meaning to different people in our community, but I think overall it is about spending time with the people that we get joy from. So I hope that everyone can do that and has a very safe new year as well, because we know it's also can be a tricky time on our roads or on our waterways if you're out on a boat. So thank you for being here this evening, and thanks to the staff as well for all that they have done for all of us collectively as councillors throughout the year. And thank you to my colleagues this year, because I think that we I feel very proud as Mayor that we have a group of councillors who are so engaged, and as I said at our annual general meeting, I think that whilst we all come from different perspectives and bring different issues to the table and different voices from our community, the standard of debate that we have here is very high, and importantly everyone is respectful of one another. And so I thank you all very much for the spirit in which the year was carried out, and wish you all a safe and happy Christmas. Thank you. So in accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease, and Council adjourns at 7:29.